There are points of responsibility which appear to most as a major part of what they are to do, with little of any wiggle room. Vehicle safety, yeah, that's among those in that category, I would say. However, when it comes to safety recalls, we've come to learn that General Motors tried to hide and deny safety failures in their vehicles as action resulted in the injury and death of innocent people. This past week saw Congress call GM to task for this lack of action. Joining us now is a woman who was a victim of GM's inaction and, well, to say at least, lucky to live to tell about it, given some of the other stories that we've learned about this past week. We say good morning to New Jersey resident Samantha Dente. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning, Chris.
So talk about what this safety defect was and how did you cross paths with it? What make and model was the car and what happened to you?
Well, in 2005, I got a brand new Chevy Cobalt. It was perfect. It was everything I wanted it to be. Excuse me. Then one day I was driving it on 37 in Toms River, and my engine shut off. I was going 45. I went from 45 to zero within seconds. Luckily, cars were swerving out of the way. I didn't get hit. Two guys jumped out of their trucks to push my car up to the gas station up the road. Called my mom hysterical. She said, just take the keys out, give it a second, you know, let's figure it out. Is there gas in the car? Yes. Have you had an oil change? Yes. I turned the car back on and it was perfectly fine, as if nothing had happened. So we brought it to the dealer and we explained to them what had happened. They did a whole service to it, and they said, nope, mechanically speaking, the car was perfect, and they couldn't recreate the situation. So we figured it was a one-time fluke. Went about, kept driving it. A few months later, I'm driving to Tennessee to visit one of my best friends, and it happened again on an off-ramp. Thank God the car behind me was very alert, swerved out of the way. I avoided that crash. I quickly took the key out, put it back in, turned it on, and it was good to go again. This time is when my mom wrote a letter to GM explaining, you know, what had happened. Was there a recall? Was there anything we should know about? We never heard back from them. When I came back from Tennessee, we brought my car right to the shop, and my mom told them we did not want the car until they could figure out what was wrong. 10 days later, they called us, and they said they figured it out. My keychain was too heavy, even though it only had a total of 4 keys on it and 1 keychain little license plate thing. And they said that maybe my knee was hitting it if I was too tall or too short. So we took off the keys. It was just the ignition key and my house key. All was well. And then a few months later, it happened again. And somehow, some way, I was able to avoid a 4-car pileup. At that point, that's when we decided the car was a death trap. I had recently then been diagnosed with the heart disease, and they put a defibrillator and pacemaker implanted in me. And we just felt, you know what, any form of anxiety or being scared or worried could set it off. And it wasn't a game I wanted to play with this car anymore. It was Russian roulette, and I was running out of tries, you know. So we told them we wanted out. It was a problem 3 times. And GM wouldn't work with us. They said I was locked in a lease and I'd have to pay a few grand to get out of it. So I had to hang on to the car. It sat in the driveway. I shared my mother's car until it was time to get out of the situation. And then that was it. I never heard anything in 2005 and 6. And then about 2 years ago, we heard about, you know, someone was in an accident with the Cobalt, but we didn't hear why. We just heard airbag didn't go off. And then a few months ago, I got a phone call from the New York Times that 13 people had passed away because of the same exact situation. And they wanted to know if I could speak about it because they came across my mother's letter, you know, in old filings. So I did that. And then through that, Cory Booker, Senator of New Jersey, called me, asked me if I would speak on behalf of these families because I was the quote-unquote sole survivor that could explain it from the inside, what was going on. And that's what led me to D.C. for the hearing, the press conference. And unfortunately, it's 13 unnecessary deaths. It's 13 families that should not have to be grieving. And I just can't even, I can't wrap my head around the fact that GM let this happen. So it's definitely been interesting keeping up with it and seeing what they're saying, but
I'm sure. We're talking with Samantha Dente, who was one of the victims of inaction for a safety recall by General Motors regarding the Cobalt. And you probably heard about the hearings this past week. We'll get into a little bit about Samantha's reaction to that. I was looking at some of the transcripts of the meetings, too, with the two primary people testifying were Mary Barra, who is now the chief executive of General Motors, And David Friedman, who was acting head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, one of the things I took away from the hearings, both the House and the Senate, was the basic philosophy, and this is through emails and memos of GM, was it's cheaper to pay the lawsuits than it would be to fix the fault in the ignition.
Yeah, that came up in the hearing as well. And I guess to GM, they can put a price on people's lives. And I don't think that's fair and that's right, because who knows how many other people this could happen to, you know? And if, like, one of the families that I became close with through all of this, their daughter passed away in 2009 from the 2005 cobalt. And if they just would have took my mother's two letters serious, if they just would have realized, you know what, this could happen, maybe some of these, you know, deaths could have been prevented. But to them, it was just, we'll write out a check, we'll cut it off and keep going. And their answer to everything at the hearing was, because Mary Barra is, you know, quote unquote new, even though she's been there for years.
30 years,
yeah. That everything's under investigation and it wasn't to her knowledge. So they're just going to keep passing the torch, I think, with this one.
And their policy, apparently, with complaints is they don't respond to submitted complaints until they determine a trend. Okay, I guess so in GM's mind, 13 deaths from one cause is not a trend. This caught my attention, too. The Henry Waxman of California point out in a letter on Monday, even after GM beefed up the switch in 2006, the new switch did not meet specifications for the minimum level of force required to turn the key. And he asked Barra about it during the afternoon's hearing. This was her response. Just because a piece does not meet specifications does not necessarily mean it's a defective piece.
Yeah, that was said as well. And I think what they had said in the hearing, there was so much going on, that technically the difference would have only been a few, I think it was like 57 cents.
90 cents for the new part.
Yeah, and it was just like that. How could you not? You're a big company. It's not like you're struggling for pennies to begin with. But to them, it was just all about mass production and selling their cars and trying to be top on the market.
Got to wrap up here. Did the hearings bring you any satisfaction? Do you hope that this is just the start of a calling out process by, well, ironically, a government which invested a whole chunk of money in General Motors and did it rather blindly? I mean, you can even fault the government now who's doing the investigating with part of this as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I got a satisfaction. A lot of frustration. My heart broke for these families. They're carrying around pictures of their loved ones instead of being able to make memories with their loved ones. And I wanted justice for them. I want to know that this is a chapter that can be closed for so many people, because what happens when it's all of a sudden 14 and 15 and 16 deaths? It's just all so unnecessary. So I'm hoping that GM will just do the right thing. I hope they don't look at themselves anymore as a big company and corporation. I hope that they put themselves in the shoes of these families and think, oh, what if this was my child or my sibling or my parent in the car? And maybe that'll give them a change of heart and things will be different. But you know what, from the way that they were talking, I think this is going to be a long battle, but it's one I'm hoping, you know, we come out with the win.
And likewise for any sane thinking individual too. Samantha Dente, thanks so much for being here this morning.
My pleasure.